Jesus. Just a prank every chain. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Hey,
all right. Just when you thought it was safe to be bad. Pastor Gene's going to continue in the series, Breaking Bad. I know we thought we were done 2 weeks ago, but as I prepared the sermon, I'm actually going to be starting a new series here in just a few short weeks, and I was going to do a standalone sermon. As I prepared it, the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing it right back into that. This really goes right along with it. We're actually building off of the last sermon I preached 2 weeks ago on breaking the unteachable spirit. So many of you responded to that to me. Said, Pastor, that was exactly what I needed to hear. I believe God is trying to teach me how to break that unteachable spirit in my life and learning to be a teachable person. This really unlocks a lot of keys. And so as I began to think about it, I was taking that a next step forward. And I said, what is the next step out of that unteachable spirit? And I believe that many of us here, we have got to learn to break the authority issues in our life. Breaking, that's what we're going to talk about today, breaking authority issues. If you struggle with the same problems over and over and over again in your life. You say, I always seem to come back to the same struggles over and over again. Usually I can look at that person and tell that that person is struggling somewhere with authority issues in their life. It's not uncommon. It's a very common thing to see people who struggle with the same problems over and over again, the struggle with authority issues in their life. And so I believe this is going to be a great sermon today for you. Many people, we had a packed service in the first service this morning as well. Just as many or more in the first service that were here in the second service. And many of them responded this morning and told me, Pastor, that's this boy, this is right on. So I believe the Holy Spirit is doing something. We sense it in our heart when the Holy Spirit is leading something. This is why this series can't close, because the Holy Spirit says, I still got more. Sometimes when I prepare a series, I'll have three or four sermons, and it's not uncommon for me to pick up another couple sermons as I go along in the series. But it seems like the Holy Spirit is continuing to add to this sermon. This is the 10th sermon in the series, which is quite long for us, above normal. But the Holy Spirit is doing it. You want to know why? Someone asked me today. I'll tell you why. Because when you come ready to receive and you want to eat of God's word and say, Pastor, I'm ready for you to do what it takes, speak into my life, and I'm absorbing that, the Holy Spirit says, there's something going on. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more because they're receiving it and applying it. And so today, it's one of these life-changing messages, again, that if you can get this in your life, it can take you from the place you're at and to advance you to a greater thing in God and advance you in your life. So we're talking about breaking authority issues. Isn't it amazing that, think about Jesus, okay? The Word of God says that Jesus said himself that he goes, I do nothing unless I do it under the authority of my Father. He goes, every word I speak, every miracle I do, everywhere I go, I do it under the Father's authority in my life. Jesus was fully submitted to the Father. Not only was he submitted spiritually to the Father, he was also submitted to his earthly mother and father. Isn't this amazing? God comes as man in flesh, and if anyone had the excuse not to be submitted to earthly authority, it would have been Jesus, correct? But we see where Jesus was under his authority. And I was reading these stories, and they really jumped out to me as examples of this in Jesus' life. Remember when he was 13, and they went to the festival, Jewish festival at the temple, and when they left, his family left, and 2 days later they get home, and they're like, where's Jesus? It's kind of that Home Alone experience, you know? They realize, I thought he was with you. I thought you had him. I thought he's with you. I thought he's with your brother. I thought he's with your sister, you know? They get home and realize, we left Jesus. And so they go back. They got to travel back a couple of days to go back to find Jesus. And when they go back at 13 to find Jesus in the temple, he's not there. You know, he's not back in one of the kids' classrooms drawing on a chalkboard playing hangman. He's not in the back skipping rocks, but they find him sitting down with the scholars. And he's teaching the scholars about the kingdom of God. This is amazing. This 13-year-old boy is there teaching the scholars about the kingdom of God. He's like, all right, you guys got all this law stuff in your head. You've been studying the Torah. But let me tell you, this is what the kingdom of God really means. And these guys are just in attention. Listen, they're in awe of what this 13-year-old boy is saying. You want to know why? Because what would have happened, of course, is Jesus would have, at that point, he would have had his manhood celebration. That's really what would have been happening as the custom of the Jewish custom. At 13, he'd have been there celebrating coming into a man. They'd have had a big ceremony. And so naturally, Jesus knows that he has been given authority of the Father to bring the gospel to the world. And so he thinks that this is his time as a man to step into his place spiritually and begin to teach. And so he's there in the synagogue teaching the scholars. And his mama finds him 2 days later and says, "Jesus, boy, what am I going to do with you?" That's one thing when you play hide and seek and you do that thing where you disappear and no one can find you. "But I'm your mother. Do not hide from us. Where have you been?" Of course, he goes, "Didn't you not know I was be about my Father's business?" He's like, "Didn't you know I've got a, Mom, you know I've got a calling on my life. You know God's anointed me to bring the gospel to the world. Duh, I'm here doing what God's called me to do." And she goes, "No, you don't. You're only 13. You're anointed, but you're not appointed yet. Get up, come home with your mama." "But Mom, well, don't make me get a hold of you. I can see her going to Almadia on that boy. Get up. Hallelujah, I'm going to show you the Bible. Get up right now." She takes the boy home. And for 17 years, he submits to the earthly authority put over him, even though he's anointed by God to change the world. 17 years, he stays at home under his parents' authority. And then at the age of 30, they're at the big wedding feast. Remember this story? They run out of wine, and his mother goes, "Jesus, come here." Now, you know, this is like really embarrassing for them to have this marriage feast. People have traveled for days to be here. This is one of the biggest celebrations in a person's life and for a family. This is their pride and joy, and it's the most one of the most disgracing things you could do is to run out of the wine at this whole celebration of the marriage. So, Jesus, you take care of it. Now, somewhere along the line, she has really realized that Jesus can do this, right? I mean, mothers wouldn't be so nice. "Jesus, we're out of groceries." "All right, look up again, Mom. Open the cabinet 7 times, and it shall be before you." "Jesus, you know that we had the carpenter, and they didn't pay this month, and we're out." "All right, Mom, go back to the fridge. Go back and look in the icebox again. It's there." Okay, all right. She knew he obviously had this gifting within him to do the miraculous, so she knew this. And so she calls him out and says, "Jesus, take care of the wine." And he goes, "Woman, what would I have to do with you?" Now, I just tell you this. Sons, don't tell your mama that, okay? The Son of God got by with it when he was 30. But you won't get by with that, okay? I'm just telling you. But she does something. She says, "Bring the pots and do what he tells you to do, okay? Just do what he tells you to do." And he submits to that. It says, fill him and turns the water into wine, which launches him into his public ministry. Are you getting this? So Jesus was under God's authority. He'd have been anointed by God, but it wasn't until his mama said, "No, not yet. Okay, now's the time." And he says, "No, it's not." She says, "Boom, yes, it is, boy. Now's the time." And she kicks him out and gets him into public ministry. See, there's something about being under the authority. So if Jesus was under the authority, how much more should you and I be under the authority? See, this is where our anointing comes from. This is when we learn to be under the spiritual covering that God has given us, both spiritually as a heavenly Father, as spiritual coverings, and even as mothers and fathers over us, and civil authority and all authority God has placed over us. When we learn how to honor, and we learn how to get under that authority, it unlocks so much blessing and anointing in our life. So I'm going to get right into it today. Let me give you some ways here. Let me give you 4 truths about submitting to authority. Let me give you these 4 truths about submitting to authority. Truth number 1 is that God is the originator of authority, and Satan is the originator of rebellion. God originated authority. Satan originated rebellion. What was the first thing that happened? We see in Scripture, one of the first things that happened in the heavenly, Satan was kicked out of heaven because of his rebellion, right? He rebelled against God. He was kicked out of heaven. What's the first thing he does in the garden with Adam and Eve? He tries to get them to rebel against God's rules. We see this happening. Matter of fact, it makes it very clear in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the secret power of the lawlessness is already at work. Lawless, those who don't obey authority, right? Those who don't obey the law, is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Talking about Satan. And then the lawless one, talking about Satan, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Look at what it says. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. So how does Satan work in our life? He works through seeds of rebellion. He wants to get you rebellious against God's word, against God's authority, against civil authority, against your parents' authority. He wants to get you rebellion against that, because if he can get you operating in any seed of rebellion, then he's got you operating in the spirit which he wants you to, which is the spirit of the lawless one. It's his spirit. Rebellion is rooted deep in the world today, correct? We see this all through our society. It's there. Rebellion is rooted deep, and Satan is at the cause of this. It's called the lawless one. Number two, the rebellion against, listen to this, rebellion against God's direct or delegated human authority is a serious sin with serious consequences. Rebellion against God's direct or delegated human authority is a serious sin with serious consequences, according to Scripture. Look at Romans 13:1 says, let everyone, wait a minute, is that right? That cannot be right. Does that say everyone? So you mean like everyone? Everyone. Okay. So none of us are exempt for this, okay? Let everyone be subject to the governing of authorities. There is no authority except what that which God has established. Let me stop right there and tell you this. Some of you think that because certain leaders are in power and they're not godly people, that we don't have to honor them. Let me just tell you this. I've read the scripture, and it talks about in the end times that there's going to be certain things that have to happen, and we are entering into those last days, according to what Scripture calls the last days. For certain things to take place at the end times, there's going to have to be some ungodly people in leadership. There's going to have to make room for the Antichrist. We're going to have to make room for the one world government that's going to come. And for these things to take place, there's going to be certain things that happen. So don't always think because somebody ungodly is in rule that maybe they're not the plan of God. Maybe God's just using them to get us as Christians back on our knees. Maybe God's using them to say, what do we really stand for? Are we going to let government tell us what we believe? Or are we going to say, no, this is what the Word of God believes, and this is what I'm standing for? See, we've been spoiled here in America. You go to other third world nations, they die for their faith every day. They're giving their life for their faith every day. And so sometimes we're like, oh, I don't have to honor this person because they're not godly leadership. No, listen, you honor all authority, and we'll talk about when it's not right to honor in just a minute, but we honor all authority over us as we honor the Lord. Look what King Saul went through. Remember King Saul, God appointed him, and then King Saul was not following the authority that God had placed in his life. God had given him certain instructions, and instead of doing what God had told him to do, he went with what the people wanted. After God made it very clear the instructions for him to follow, and look at what Samuel, the priest, came to him and said as a voice of God. He's talking to King Saul, has the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. See, Saul was saying, I'm not obeying God, but I'm making all these sacrifices. I'm giving up all these sacrifices. I'm doing my godly thing. I'm going to church. I'm doing this. But Samuel says, it's better to obey, be obedient to what God wants, than to be religious. That's translated. Look what it says, for rebellion is as the sin of what? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you for being king. Let me tell you, if God will yank the favor and discipline King Saul, how much more will he do this with you and I when we don't follow what God has asked us to do? He says, I put authority in your life, and obedience to that authority is better than you saying, I'm all religious. It's better you saying that, oh, I go to church every Sunday, but yet I don't submit to any authority in my life. He goes, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's the lawless spirit. It's a witchcraft spirit that Satan thrives on. Number three, accepting the principle of submission and to authority. It accelerates spiritual revelation and maturity. Accepting the principle of submission to authority accelerates spiritual revelation and maturity. I love this story in Matthew 8. We'll get to it in just a second here, where the centurion came to Jesus. Remember this story? He's like, Jesus, man, my best servant is sick. He's going to die. I need you to heal him. And Jesus says, all right, let's go. I'll go heal him. Let's go to your house. And I love his response. Look at his response to Jesus. He says, I'll go to your house and heal him. And he says, no, wait. Look at his response here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come to under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And his revelation, look at his revelation of authority. For I also am a man under authority. You see, by him saying this, what's he saying? He's saying, I am an authority, and I realize that you are in authority. And if you will only speak the word, my servant will be healed. He goes, having soldiers under me, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, all of his disciples wannabe, all of his interns, all of his paparazzi, all of the revivalists who are following him from city to city. He says, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What's he saying? He's saying this man gets it. The kingdom of God is about spiritual authority. First of all, the Bible is all about pointing about our relationship with the Father, how he came to redeem us, and how we can walk in his righteousness. Old Testament to the New Testament, points of the grace of God in our life, the redemption of God in our life. Second, it points to the authority of God in our life. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we find out that God has ordained spiritual authority. And when you and I submit ourselves to the spiritual authority that he's placed in our life, we operate and step into a new realm of understanding. I have an understanding that, you know what, things may not always go my way. But the one I'm submitted to is in charge of the universe. If he only speaks the word, I can be healed. If he only speaks the word, I can be blessed. If he only speaks the word, this situation can change. If he only speaks the word, so God, I submit to your authority because you're in charge of everything. And then I only submit to your authority, I submit to those you've placed over me and walk under the authority that you've placed over me. I love it when Jesus said this. When we pray, remember his disciples asked him how to pray? He goes, okay, when you want to pray, this is how you pray. Jesus' words. He says, we say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed is your name, right? No. How would be thy name? What's the next part? Thy what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. See, he was trying to teach us something about spiritual authority. He goes, every day when you pray, this is what you pray. God, I submit to your spiritual authority. Not my will, but yours be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Then he said you can ask for your daily bread. You see, we don't go petitioning God and say, God, I need this or want that until we understand spiritual authority. I have no right to say, God, I need this or I want that when I haven't submitted to his spiritual authority. Could it be the reason we're not receiving the daily bread answers to our prayers if we haven't understood how to get under the spiritual authority yet? I know that's better than what you're saying amen about. They've already heard it once today, so they're saying amen because they're feeling good about it now. But this is so true. Could it be that the reason we're struggling is we're struggling with spiritual authority in our life? only God's authority, but authority he's placed over us that he says is called to rule over us. Submission, number four, submission to authority brings supernatural favor, blessing, and protection from God. Submission to authority brings supernatural favor, blessing, and protection from God. We find it in one of the first promises given in Scripture, Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor. That's such a good word here. Honor your father and your mother, which is what? The first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That you will go well with what you do and you may enjoy a long life here on the earth. He says those who operate under the spirit of honor, of obedience to those over them, they're gonna inherit so much more. They're gonna walk under a supernatural blessing. And it starts with our parents. I can tell you this, as we start football up next week, and I have a lot of elementary age students coming out and playing for us. I'll have trouble with a few of my players. And I know when I go to them over the years, I've been doing this for 9 years now, and I go to them, start talking to one of the parents. And almost every time I go to talk to them, maybe about a discipline problem or attitude problem I have with one of their students, that student will come up and be disrespecting their parent right there. And the parent just lets it get by. They allow the rebellion. Let me tell you this, parents. When you allow a rebellion to come into your child's life, you're bringing a curse upon them. When you allow your children to operate in rebellion, you're allowing them to operate and to walk in a curse. All right, are you ready for this now? We've got to teach our children to honor. As parents, listen to me. As parents, we cannot be your best friend to your children. You're not called to be the best friend to your children. I hope you're close to them. I'm close to my children. Sometimes we had that relationship. Sometimes we had that relationship. We're talking and we're sharing things that are very personal. And we have a close relationship at times. But first and foremost, my relationship is not to be their best friend. My relationship is to make sure that I do anything I can to kill off any spirit of rebellion. And they're going to have it. You had it. I had it. And as a parent, I just can't control my child, Pastor. I don't know how to break that spirit of rebellion. But I look at them and they're carrying a $500 phone in their hand. They have a $600 iPod. They got a $1,000 laptop. They got a PS4. They got $150 shoes. They're getting it from somewhere. If I've got to take away a phone, if I got to take away the computer, if I got to take away internet access, if I got to take away the keys to the car, if I got to take away allowance, if I got to, whatever I got to do to break a spirit of rebellion in them, I must save their life. Well, my parent was so strict on me. I just want to be a good friend. No, no. You can do better than your parent. That's fine. You learn from the mistakes, but you got to break the spirit of rebellion. With his coming, the lawless one, Satan takes that ounce of rebellion and he wants to grow it in. The next thing you know, they're rebelling at home, then they're rebelling against teachers, then they're rebelling against authority and against their boss. They can't hold a job, and they're living at home when they're 35 because they can't hold a job, can't honor their wife, can't take care of their children. Why? Because no one's ever taught them how to break the rebellious spirit. It's the very principle that all of us got to operate in. And as parents, number one thing we got to do is learn how to break that rebellious spirit in our children. And in return, we can't allow ourselves to operate. Well, my kids are going to break that rebellious spirit, but then nobody else can tell you what to do, though, right? You're not submitted to your boss. You're not submitted to your spiritual authority in your life. But you want everybody else to be under you to be submitted. You're going to struggle. Spiritual authority is alignment. I get under God's authority and those he's placed over my life, and then he'll place under me the authority of people under my life. And he'll give me wisdom on how to teach them. Listen, students, I'm not trying to get you your phones taken away. Believe me, I'm glad you have them. I love talking to many of you. You send me notes on Facebook and all kinds of things. I love those things, okay? I love that. But the most important, I care about what God wants to do in your life. And if you're operating in the spirit of rebellion, you're headed to a place you don't want to go. Long term, you don't want to be there. So if your parents love you, they will set guidelines up to help break the rebellion in your life. As parents, we got to step up. See, we have decided that Destiny Church is a quality. And I believe it's time for the church to step back up and establish the lost godly principle of honor back in the church and back in society. We got to quit. This morning I told our first service, so I had a man in here who turns 92 this week. His name is Carl. Served in all three areas of the branches. The Navy, Marines, the Army. Spent 32 years serving as a deputy sheriff in L.A. County and 22 years in undercover narcotics. I said, that's a real hero. They stood up to their feet and gave him a standing ovation this morning. Why? Because we got to learn what it means to honor. I said, when that man walks through here, you better open the door for that man. You better salute him. You better, whatever you want to do, you shake his hand, pat him on the back. Learn to honor. And we had all the guys who serve and all the women who serve in any armed force area. As a matter of fact, if you're here today, if you serve in any area of our armed forces, man or women here today, whoever you are, male or female, or any area of our police, law enforcement, can you stand today? Can we honor you? Can we just do that? If you served anywhere, come on. These are real heroes right here. Thank you. We got to teach our children what it means to honor again. We got to teach them what it means to honor our teachers as they head back to school, getting ready to take on 25, 35 students in each classroom, and many of them multiple times a day. And they're coming from homes that are broken, many of them, and have no structure. And they got to get there, and they're trying to teach an environment that reaches all children with all different kinds of age, I mean, all kinds of learning differences. They need the grace of God. And that teacher just doesn't like my kid. They went to school. They've given their life to train them up. They're trying to do everything they can to get them, pass on the knowledge they have to them so they can be prepared for the next level that God's taking them to. Nothing thrills them more than for that student to learn and to obtain knowledge and to grow. They don't have it in for your child. And we got to teach. I've told every one of my teachers and my students, I say, if you have 1 ounce of problem, here is my personal number. You call me. And I may be in a meeting, but as soon as I get that message, we will deal with it right then and there. You will not disrespect any teacher. Why? We got to teach them to honor. Matter of fact, if you're a teacher today, getting ready to go back to school, stand up. We want to pray for you this morning. Can we do that to honor you? First of all, let's give them a hand, all of our teachers. Come on, stretch your hands toward them as they stand today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over all of our teachers today as they get ready for their classrooms. In just a couple of more weeks, all the students are going to be coming back. And God, I pray that this year they will walk with favor of the Lord, that their classrooms will be in order, that there will be knowledge that will come from them. You will give them, Father, you will give them insight on how to reach each student, that you'll give them insight on breaking through learning barriers of students. And God, you'll give them a peace in their room. There will be an order to their room. The love of God will flow out of them for every classroom they have. And Father, students walk in and see the love of God in each teacher in this room. God, I pray over them today. Anoint them, God. Bless them. In the name of Jesus, we say, amen. We've got to learn what it means to restore honor back into society. This is where God wants us to do. Reestablish honor back. Let me quickly give you 4 things today. I'm going to give you 4 more things. 4 tests. This is 4 tests of whether or not you're submitting to authority. We test our submission to authority in these 4 years. Number 1, the arrogance test. The arrogance test. In 1 Samuel 17, we see where Goliath had been out terrorizing the children of Israel. Remember this from the Philistines? And nobody wants to fight them. And David said, hey man, I'll go fight this guy. Look what David says to Saul. David, remember, he'd been appointed king already. I mean, he'd been anointed king already. He'd had the oil on his head. Remember all that? David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Look up Saul's reply. No. You're not able. That's what he says. No, you're not able. This guy's been a warrior from his youth, and you're just a shepherd boy. He goes, no, you can't do it. Now look at David's response. Halfway down. But David said to Saul, look at his response. What? Your servant. Don't overlook this today. This is a big thing. Your servant was busy out taking care of his dad's sheep. And let me tell you about the time I beat the lion. Let me tell you about the time I beat the bear. But look at his response. Your servant. See, what you and I would have done probably has been this. Saul, I got news for you. You can tell me no all you want. But Samuel's already been to my house, and I know God's favor is not in your life. And look at the oil on my hair. You may think it's just a greasy teenager, but God has already anointed me, the next king of Israel. And whether you like it or not, I'm going out there to fight this guy and show all of Israel I'm the next king in waiting. He doesn't do that, does he? No. See, David understood authority. That's why God used him at a young age. See, David understood this. If he went out there without Saul's blessing, he would have been defeated. God would not have honored David without Saul's blessing. But David said, your servant. Let me humbly tell you the story about how I beat the bear, how I beat the lion. And Saul's heart was changed. Why? Because of David's attitude. See, some of us come under our authority and be like, oh yeah, you need to change your attitude about me. You need to give me a chance here, and this is who I am. No. What would happen if we just simply come under submission to the authority and say, okay, I respect what you're saying, but as one of your team members, let me tell you about something. I've got some good ideas I think maybe help you. One time when I worked at a place, we had a similar situation, and this helped this company out so much. How much would that trade instead of that boss saying, you know what, maybe I should give you a chance here to do this. Maybe I should give you a chance to run this. Maybe I should give you a chance to take over this project. When you come humbly, not coming in, well, yeah, well, I got the sales to match up in the last place I was at. I was number one. And I just tell you right now, in 2 years, I'm going to have your job. No, in 2 years, you'll be looking for another job. But when you submit to the authority, as your team leader, as one of your servants, hey, let me tell you, I've got the experience, and I want to help you if I can. It changes Saul's attitude. See, David was anointed, but he wasn't appointed. He realized this. The second test is the abuse test. This is a question people ask me all the time. And let me just tell you this, that I know when it comes to spiritual authority is kind of like, for me, it's kind of like almost like talking about tithes and offerings, preaching about it. Because there's been a lot of abuse about people using tithe and offerings and using the giving, you know, in the Word of God to try to manipulate people to give, to raise big money. Sometimes as pastors, we don't always want to jump out there and teach about it because it's been such a sore spot. We've seen people abuse it. But as a pastor and a spiritual leader, I've got a responsibility to teach you the responsibility of tithing and giving and how that unlocks the blessing of God in your life and obedience. And you trust me now. You've been doing this long enough. You trust me to know that I'm not going to do it in any way that's going to manipulate. I'm not going to do it in any way that's trying to bring an advantage. You guys trust me at that point. That helps. So this is one of those same messages. Spiritual authority can be one of those ones where people have been abused with spiritual authority. We've had some corrupt leaders or leaders who had bad motivation and tried to use spiritual authority to keep people submitted to what they wanted them to do and not really following God's will. I know what happens. We find this story right here. David was totally submitted to Saul as much as he could. But there came a time in 1 Samuel 19:9 where it says that David was playing the harp before the Lord, and Saul starts throwing spears at him, trying to kill him. What's David do? David got up and left. He fled. He escaped that night. He ran. Sometimes it's okay when you're being abused to walk out of that authority, okay? God does not expect you to stay somewhere where you're being abused spiritually, okay? Or physically. Understand this? All right. God's law does not count on that for you to stay. Well, You got to stay no matter what. No, you don't. If they are abusing you spiritually or physically, you have an excuse to leave. God does not expect you to stay in that situation. We see where you can apply, you can leave that. I've been times in my life where I submitted under leadership when I didn't want to. I submitted when I thought I probably had better answers. And I stayed and I submitted and God blessed me for it. I submitted. And that's why God has blessed me today, is because I believe early on I submitted to my authority as much as I could. As best I could. There was times in my life, so there's been times in my life when the authority over me was trying to abuse me. And I had to leave that situation. God gave me confirmation. I sought out counsel and made sure I wasn't just feeling this way. And I got counsel from godly people. Several of them have said, you're in an abusive situation spiritually. You need to get out of that situation. So there is times you can leave, okay? I'm not saying this is an excuse for you to be locked in. And if you are under a spiritual authority where someone tries to keep you under their thumb spiritually all the time by saying, God's pushed me over you. Spiritual leaders don't do that. You see, I'm in authority over our pastoral staff, but when we come together, I submit to them as much as they submit to me. And I say, guys, tell me, what are we doing wrong? 2 weeks ago, I sat down, we had a big whiteboard. I said, all right, hurt my feelings. Tell me what we're doing wrong. Tell me the areas where we're weak at. And boy, they shot him out there, and I had to be like, oh, that hurts. As a leader, that hurts sometimes to hear that. But I had to submit to that. And when we leave that meeting, I'm in charge, and they know that. And I'm going to make a decision. They submit to my authority, but at the same time, I'm submitting to them. And I have those in submission over me. I had those who were the finance committee of our church. They're in charge of the finances, and I can't make any decisions without their approval. I have those who are in eldership over me in our four-square denomination. I have a bishop over me. I have a state director over me. I have boards over me, and I have to be submitted to them as well. So we're all submitted to somebody. We're all submitted to somebody. There's nothing wrong. When we learn to walk under that submission, God blesses us. All right. He doesn't expect you to stay when it's abused. Number three, the advantage test. This is a big one. Remember when David was running for his life? Saul's out to kill him. He's got the army out to kill him. And David's hiding in caves with his band of merry men, just trying to stay alive. And Saul's trying to kill him. And David's hiding in the cave. And all of a sudden, Saul comes to that same cave where David's hiding. He decides it's time for him to do his big boy job in the cave. Yeah, you guys, you understand, those of you who have babies, you understand what I'm talking about. He's going in there to take care of his business. He's in the cave hiding, doing this, of course, and David's hiding in the same place. And they're like, man, David, there he is. This is your chance. Kill Saul. You can kill him. Instead, David just cuts off his robe, the bottom corner of it. Wait till Saul gets back out from the cave, and he comes out and says, Saul, I know you're trying to kill me. And if I was really trying to kill you, I would have killed you. Look what I did. While you were in the cave, I cut off your robe. I could have killed you if I wanted to. But I will not touch the man that God's placed above me. I'm not going to submit to your leadership right now because you're trying to kill me, but I'm not going to hurt you. And he didn't do it. And a second time later on, two chapters later, we find the same story where David walks in the middle of the camp in the middle of the night. They're hiding, and he walks upon Saul's whole camp, and they're all asleep. And he walks up right next to Saul, and he's right there. He could have killed him. His men are like, kill him, kill him, kill him. He's like, no, I will not touch God's authority. I know God's anointed to be the next king, but until God moves Saul, I will not do it. I'm not going to rush my hand just because I think I'm called. I'll let God move it when it's time. And he submitted under that whole spirit. Listen, God did not give you an advantage so you can make a mockery of your boss. God didn't give you an advantage gifting so that you can make a mockery and make people above you look bad. God didn't give you talents. God didn't give you favor so that you can make other people look bad around you that you're serving. I'm going to make them look bad. I'm going to be better than them. I'm going to make them look stupid because I'm going to be smarter than them. No, God gave you an advantage so that you can make them better. This is a hard one, right? Because our attitude is, no, I want to make me look good. No, you make the company look good. You make your boss look good, and God will take care of the rest. I guarantee you, you will find yourself elevated when you have a company mindset. I want to make the company look better. I want to make the ministry better. I'm not trying to build my own kingdom. I want to build the kingdom of God. And God will exalt you. God will promote you. God will take them because you have learned submission. He didn't give you an advantage to make anybody look stupid or anybody not look bad. He gave you that advantage for you to make them look better. And when you submit that under God, He takes you and promotes you. And the last part of this is the association test. Who are you hanging with? 2 Samuel 1:13 is a story about at the end of the story where Saul's been chasing David, and now Saul knows his time is coming to an end, and he's ready to kill himself. Remember, he's got a sword out. He's ready to fall upon the sword. He's getting ready to die, and this guy shows up and tells the story. And David said, "Young man, who brought this report? Where are you from?" He says, "I am the son of a foreigner. I'm an Amalekite." He answered David and asked him, "Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy God's anointed?" See, what happened was this. He killed Saul. Saul was trying to kill himself, and he went up and helped him finish off the job. He killed Saul. Then he brought Saul's crown and his bracelet. He brought his rings. He brought all everything to David. "Here you go. The Lord has given you the kingdom, and I finished off Saul." Thinking he's going to get some reward. And David's like, "Dude, first of all, I'm now king, and you're a king killer. You've got experience killing a king. Obviously, you didn't think twice about killing a king. And now I'm king. Number two, what makes you think that you had the right to kill God's anointed?" He goes, "Any man that would take it in his own hands to kill God's anointed is not welcome here." And he ordered his men to put to death this man. Because David knew that he was not going to allow any king killer in his camp. More importantly, he wasn't going to allow anybody in his association that would dishonor the authority God's placed in their life. This is big in our life because many of you submit to authority. You've raised children in authority. And look what it says here, 1 Corinthians 15:33, the last verse I'm going to read you today. "Do not be misled. Bad company," what? "Corrupts good character." Let me tell you this. You may have the best raised children, but if your children hang out with kids who are rebellious, they will always influence them to become rebellious if they hang out with them long enough. It happens. It happens. Not just with our children, not just with our teenagers, but it happens with us as adults as well. When we hang around people who are always bad-mouthing authority, always bad-mouthing the government, always bad-mouthing people in charge, always bad-mouthing their boss, always bad-mouthing pastors and leadership. Let me tell you what you do from them. Run, Forrest, run! Get away from those people. They're king killers. And God's favor will not be upon them. If you hang around them long enough, they will rub off on you. Get away from them. Get away from them. Say, no. I've got to get myself back into submission to the authority God's placed in my life. Today, as we close, I wonder how many of us are still struggling with the same issues in our life because we're at a roadblock of this authority issue in our life. "Pastor, I love God. I'm trying, but I've still got some authority issues in my life." As long as we got spiritual authority issues, God's not going to give His hand of favor in our life. But I believe today there's some people in this room that are saying, "Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to bring honor back into the kingdom of God. I'm ready to operate in that honor principle and submitting to authority and those who God's placed in our life." I realize the importance of that and how God blesses that. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Anybody here, as you stand, say, "Pastor, I'm ready. I want God to teach me like He never has before how to submit to spiritual authority in my life and those He's placed in my life." Anybody here say, "Pastor, this is me, man." Yeah. See? Realize the lawless one is trying to get us to rebel against authority, okay? But the Spirit of the living God wants you to submit under that authority. Why? Not to tie you up, but to set you free. And the blessing He has for your life. We're going to close with this song. If you want to join me today and make it the prayer of your heart about submitting to spiritual authority, I'm going to invite you to join me in the front if you would like to. As we close with this song, it simply says, "God, I give myself away. As submission to You, God, I'm giving myself away that You could use me anyway. I submit myself to Your authority. Come on, let's make it personal. You lift your hands this morning. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this room. God, you are helping us to break away the authority issues in our life. God, if there's any ounce of rebellion in our heart, God, expose that to us. And God, help us to get that out of our life. God, may we resist any rebellion. And God, may we flow under the authority that you placed in our life, spiritually, civilly, a workplace, wherever it is, God, I pray that you'll give them special grace on how to submit to those who are hard to submit to. But God, as they do it, may they see they're not doing it to them, but they're doing it as unto the Lord himself. And God, I pray that as they begin to submit the spiritual authority in their life, that God, you will allow them to have new insight to scripture, new insight to spiritual things. They walk in a new favor. And guys, you're showing them. God, I thank you that at Destiny Church, we're seeing this already. Many people learning these principles. And God, I pray that it not only would many find it, but God, I pray that everyone in this room today would find the blessing of submitting to authority in their life and how God unlocks that in their life. God, I thank you, Lord. We resist rebellion and we say yes to the spiritual authority in our life. In Jesus' name, we thank you now. If you believe that word spoken over your life today, come on, join me and submit it with your hand clap. Do you receive that word from the Lord today? Yeah. Thank you so much for your passion to learn and to grow in God. Turn around and give someone a high five or a hug or shake their hand. I said, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. Remember, GAP tonight at 6 o'clock.